This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Park, a new beginning, let's go. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Baby said she wanna go to the game. Taught her how to say Padre gang. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Mitchell and Ness with the old school name. All of the homies holler Padre gang. Yeah, that.
And good day, everybody. Welcome on in. This is episode 154 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden, your host, coming to you live on YouTube and on replay as well, and on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. After the San Diego Padres got crushed by the Los Angeles Dodgers today by a score of 10-2, they were outscored in this series 18 runs to 6 runs. So the Dodgers scored three times the amount of runs that the Padres did in this series. So yeah, not a great series. It was up, down, or down, up, down in terms of emotions, I guess, for this series, right? You had Friday, down, get crushed. Muncy and Betts have home runs. Saturday, you're up because you get a walk-off home run. And then the roller coaster boat goes back down today when Bellinger hits two home runs and Freddie Freeman hits one to Escondido, you know? So it's... yeah, it was the series. My initial reaction on the series coming to you, you know, minutes after this game just ended, is it was expected that they were going to lose the series. Was I expecting Shamanaya to give up 6 earned runs today? No. Against the lineup, against the Dodgers lineup that was not their A lineup today, because they had Hanser Alberto in there in the 8-hole. They had Austin Barnes, the catcher, in the 9-hole. So did I expect Manaea to not be on his game today? No, but I did predict going into this series that the Padres would lose the series. You know, it's not surprising. The Padres are not as good as the Los Angeles Dodgers are. It pretty much comes down to that, you know. The Dodgers' offense is better than the Padres' offense. The Padres might have the better rotation, or it actually might be pretty equal, but with Pierce Johnson going down, you know, you have to lean more on guys like Luis Garcia, who didn't pitch great yesterday. Now, I'm not going to panic about that, right? But you have to lean on those guys more. It was good to see Ray Kerr get in the game today, go that one inning, didn't give up a run, didn't give up a hit, struck out Max Muncy. I love seeing pitchers strike out Max Muncy. I hate that guy. My goodness, I hate that guy. But I'm going to take you through everything that happened in this series, give my reactions. Feel free, to give your reactions in the comments, or if you want to do a quick voicemail, 619-335-5770 to give your thoughts on this series. And if I see one pop up, I'll play it. I do have a voicemail from yesterday's game. Someone had a voicemail with their reaction after yesterday's game, and they had a prediction going into today's game on Sunday, and it ended up not being correct. I'll put it that way. So I will play that once we get to Saturday's game, that win yesterday. But let's start off with our sponsor for this episode, and then we'll get into the series. This episode brought to you by Gaglione Bros, famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries. They're located inside Petco Park, field level, down the third baseline by the Valley Sports San Diego pregame and postgame booth, located Mission Gorge and Point Loma as well. You can visit gaglionebros.com to view their entire menu, their phone numbers, their addresses, so you can find the locations that are outside Petco Park. But they do have multiple locations inside Petco Park as well. Gaglione Bros, the sponsor of this episode. Great cheesesteaks, garlic fries to maybe make you feel a little better after this clobbering that the Dodgers gave to us today. All right, let's start with Friday's game. Padres lost this one 6-1. Pre-game, Blake Treinen was placed on the injured list with a shoulder injury. Mike Clevinger was announced he's going to have a rehab start in El Paso on Tuesday, so that will come the same day the Padres open up their next series in Cincinnati against Tommy Pham and the Cincinnati Reds. Pierce Johnson was placed on the IL, and Ray Kerr was called up in place of him. And like I mentioned earlier, Ray Kerr got up today, and he ended up getting a strikeout, not giving up any hits, one scoreless inning. So I liked what I saw out of him. His fastball was sitting like 95. So a good big league debut out of him. And then just talking about the game, Padres did get a lead briefly. Bottom of the second, Eric Hosmer, hard single to right field. That put Profar on third, and then Myers with a grounder scored Profar. That made it 1-0 Padres. In the third, Nick Martinez walked Betts, Freeman, and Muncy to load the bases with one out, but he got out of it, 6-4-3 double play. That was amazing to see Nick Martinez that fired up, but it didn't go so well after that. In the fifth, Mookie Betts hit a solo homer to left field. Betts, that was his third time facing Nick Martinez. There were some people that were kind of, you know, putting it out there that they didn't think that Bob Melvin should have let Nick Martinez face the third time through the order there at the top of the order. I didn't really have a big deal about that for me because the changeup was working, right? He had other pitches there that were working, even if the fastball wasn't working. For me, what the problem I had was when he gave up that home run to Max Muncy in the fifth after Betts homered to give the Dodgers the lead, and that fastball was down the middle when the changeup was working, you know? So that was more my problem, was the pitch selection to Muncy, not Martinez getting to face the top of the Dodgers order a third time around. Because in that situation, Bob Melvin even said it after the game, he wanted Nick Martinez to get through five because it was a long series against the Dodgers. You didn't know what was going to happen, and you wanted you wanted your starter to get through five innings, right? And I agree with that statement, that opinion, that Bob Melvin, that game plan that they had going in. In the top of the seventh, the Dodgers added to the lead. Muncy had a two RBI single off Tim Hill. Justin Turner had a sac fly to left. That made it 5-1. Tim Hill in that seventh inning was not good. Single, two RBI single, that Muncy single I just talked about, and then the sac fly by Turner. Just not solid at all. In the ninth, Mookie Betts added another one, his second home run of the game. That one was to also the left field, and that made it 6-1 Dodgers. That ended up being the final score. So that was not a great start to the series for the Padres. And the offense, scoring one run, I don't really care who you're playing, unless maybe the Reds when they shut them out that one-day game this past week. It doesn't matter really who you're playing. You give up one run, or you score one run, rather, that's not a great recipe for success. And especially when you're playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, you score one run. Well, now you're asking to lose the game, right? Jake Cronenworth and Luke Voit. Voit was ended up being put on the IL today. We'll get to that. But Voit and Cronenworth that night, they combined to be 0 for 7. That was Cronenworth's seventh straight game without a hit. He'd end up homering on Saturday, the day after Friday's game. But just you need your middle of the lineup to produce more, and they just didn't do that. And in terms of Ray Kerr, I talked about him debuting. He was called up for Pierce Johnson before Friday's game, like I mentioned briefly before getting into what happened on Friday. I didn't really understand why they didn't just put Ray Kerr into the game on Friday. You know, like in the ninth inning, I know he's a one-inning guy, but you were going to lose the game. That felt like a good spot to put him in instead of riding Craig Stammen. But again, I guess that's just me. Ray Kerr ended up pitching today, and then they'll have the off day, and then he'll be ready for the Cincinnati series if that's what they decide to do. But I guess I know no one cares really but me, I guess, but I would have kind of preferred to see Kerr there just to see what he could do. We got to see that today, but as I was writing notes down during this game, that's kind of what I saw there. And then I did see this stat as well. After this game on Friday, the San Diego Padres tied with the Angels for the most strikeout lookings offensively in Major League Baseball so far this season at 43. So I'm not so sure if that number changed, but that tells you that guys aren't up there, you know, ready to swing and protect. Now, I know that there's been some really bad umpiring, and we will get to that. In fact, I'll get to that right now. But, you know, Ron Culpa, yeah, he was bad. But does that mean that you should be striking out looking 43 times? You know, in what was that? And through the first 15 games of the season? No, you know. Let me see here. I'll find it. All right. Here is my breakdown that I showed or that I put out there on social media and YouTube if you did not see it. This was my breakdown. Ron Culpa on Friday night, the Padres in the eighth inning were trying to get something going. And Ron Culpa was trying to pick a fight with Manny. You know, he rung up Manny. And there was a pitch that ended up being called the pitch before that, or actually a couple of pitches before that, that were balls that he called strikes. And so Manny was pissed off about that. And Culpa didn't have a sense of the situation. And he kept yelling at Manny as he was walking back to the dugout. So here's that breakdown that I made.
Here's a breakdown. Ron Culpa looks for a fight with Manny Machado. 6-1, Dodgers win this game last night. Ron Culpa has not had a good history of calling strikes, at least in these big type games. John Farrell one time at Yankee Stadium wanted to eject Ron Culpa out of the game because of how bad he was. AJ Hinch just got ejected from him because Ron Culpa's continued to look in his dugout one time. Here's this one. One instance in Texas. I can do anything I want, he's saying. I can do anything I want. I can do anything I want. That's right. And here's the scorecard from last night in favor of the Dodgers. His accuracy was below average. Two of the three missed calls, biggest missed calls, were in favor of the Dodgers. Here's this one that was in favor of the Padres. That was supposed to be a strike right in the middle of the zone. It ends up being called a ball. So it was bad both ways. But here's the situation with Manny. In the eighth inning, Padres just trying to get something going here. And here's the sequence. Ball outside. But then here, that's a ball. Calls it a strike. Manny's like, all right, this guy really, that's not a strike, but he calls it a strike. Manny's like, all right, I just got to resettle myself. It's all right. Next pitch though, ball, nope, strike according to Ron Culpa. And Manny's like, this freaking idiot, come on, here we go. Really? That's way off. All day, way off. Bob Melvin's like, this freaking dummy. Come on, let's go, clean it up. And then the next pitch obviously is strike three. Okay, it's strike three, but Manny's like, okay, I'm pissed off still about the other pitch that you just robbed me of. What's wrong with that pitch, Ron says. right down the middle, right down the middle. And Manny's like, no, I'm not talking about that pitch. I'm talking about the pitch before where you screwed me and I should still be in the batter's box right now. Walking back, it's down the middle, Ron Culpa continues to say. And Manny's like, no, I'm talking about this pitch where you just screwed me. And now I'm walking back to the dugout when I should be in the batter's box. But Ron Culpa goes home happy. He picked the fight with Manny.
All right, so that was the breakdown that I gave. I hope you guys enjoyed that if you saw it before today and if you saw it today for the first time. Hope you enjoyed that. The podcast audience, maybe that you learned something from there, but I encourage you to go watch it visually on YouTube, on the YouTube channel, Talking Friars. And I encourage you, everyone, to tell your friends about this channel. I know that there's some people that want to get those super chats going, and I need to get to 1,000 subscribers to get there. So I encourage people to tell your friends about this channel. I have Padres content going up every single day. But getting back to Friday's game, again, 6-1 loss, and that was the pattern for the majority of this series. Padres lose 2 out of 3, not a whole lot of runs scored, even in the game they win, which we can move to. Saturday's game yesterday, they win, but they only score 3 runs. So even those 3 runs that they took, that it took to win the game Saturday, they wouldn't have been able to win the game Friday or Sunday with that amount of runs. And 2 of those runs that they scored Saturday were not on hits. One was on that Jake Cronenworth home run, but then you had Myers having a ground out for a run and then a sac fly by Nola, and they got the runner on second because of the extra innings rule. It wasn't because of someone hitting a double. But getting to Saturday's game, the attendance, 44,444. That was interesting. That was the 4th sellout of the year. So a lot of 4s that were involved there. A lot of scoring, or not a lot of scoring. There were 5 combined runs scored, but a lot of things happened in this game because obviously it was extra innings, went into the 10th. There were a lot of high leverage situations that happened. In the 2nd, Darvish, my goodness. I mean, talk about like giving me like a headache or making me sweat. Like 50 pitches he was at through 2 innings. And then he finally settled down, retired 13 batters in a row before handing it off to the bullpen. In that 2nd inning, he loaded the bases. He almost hit Betts, Mookie that is, twice, but ended up getting out of the inning with a strikeout, and that was a sigh of relief. In the bottom of the 2nd, the Padres got their first run of 3 of the game. Profar doubled down the line in left field. Hosmer got him over to 3rd with a ground out, and then Myers had a ground out, or excuse me, he had a fly out to center. So I said previously that one of the runs was a ground out by Myers. It was a fly out. Myers flew out the center. Sack fly that scored Profar made it 1-0. In the bottom of the 3rd, Jake Cronenworth solo homer to right. Finally got the bat a little bit going there. Finally. Because he was really scuffling early on. Yeah, that's right. Pound Town. Cronenworth, man, it was good to see him homer, but it's like, man, it just doesn't feel like he's that same hitter right now, you know? What did he do today? I can look real quick what he did. I don't think he got a hit today, if I remember correctly. Just looking it up here. Cronenworth, oh, he did, okay. He went 1-for-4. He's hitting 193, so you hope that he can get going here. This upcoming road trip is definitely a good time to get going. I mean, we're facing Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. So you're not facing great teams. You know, the Reds game, the Reds series, they're not going to be facing Hunter Green. So that's a good thing at least. But getting back to Saturday's game, Darvish finished with 6 innings, no earned runs, 1 hit, walked 3, struck out 7. So despite loading the bases in that 2nd inning and making people sweat, Padre fans, almost hitting Mookie with the bases loaded to score runs there for the Dodgers, he ends up getting a shutout. It's like, how the heck does he do that? You know, he was really hitting his spots after that second inning. And the voicemail that I got from a fan named Robert, he definitely touched on that, as you'll see. It was kind of funny listening to the message that he sent last night. But I'll play that in a little bit. My room lights went off. So I have to put this screen on high brightness now. All right, so getting back to this game. In the top of the eighth, this is, you know, Luis Garcia wasn't great. Started off the inning giving up an infield single to Taylor, a single to center to Lux. Wild pitch got Chris Taylor to third. Now you had first and third, and you had Taylor Rogers coming to the game to try to get a five-out save because Garcia struck out Betts for the first out of the eighth inning. He couldn't do it. Rogers couldn't do it. Tried for that five-out save. Ended up blowing the save. Struck out Freeman for the second out, but then one too many sliders down the middle, and Trey Turner doubled to left field over the left fielder's head, and that tied the game. In the ninth, first and second, one out. Rogers got the 6-4-3 double play, so that was huge. In the bottom of the ninth, Padres couldn't do anything. Myers had an infield single, but then Hosmer pounded a ball into the ground at a second base. Beatty popped up to the infield, and Abrams struck out. I tweeted that predictably, like, might be Captain Obvious a little bit here, but you can't be very confident in the back end of this lineup right now in those ninth inning type situations, just because look at the guys that are there. You know, in this situation, you have Beatty and Abrams there at the back end. I love Abrams, but he needs more at-bats. That's what it feels like right now. And that fastball up in the zone, that really feels like his kryptonite right now. But moving to the 10th inning, runner on second to start extra innings for the Dodgers, obviously. And this was a huge play by Jerks Profar. Fly out to left. Chris Taylor, I thought it was kind of smart because he did see that Jerks Profar was going back on the ball. And he wasn't – it's not like he had the momentum, you know, how you're taught to – fly ball, get behind it, come into it to get the throw off. That's not really what happened there. He was kind of drifting off, and he didn't have his momentum. It was kind of like a Will Myers catch. He didn't have any momentum going towards third or anything. And so I could see why Chris Taylor wanted to be aggressive there and set up one out runner on third, and you have two chances to get in that run. I understand what his thinking there was, but luckily enough, Profar, my goodness, an amazing throw to third. Manny did his job, straggling the bag. Catch, throw, blocks third. Perfect, 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 perfect. Outfield, infield clinic there to get a double play. And now all of a sudden, the Dodgers' momentum is gone. It's out the window. You go from a runner on first, or runner on third, excuse me, with one out to no runners on with two outs. And now you do nothing. You know, that batter ended up striking out to end the inning, or that half inning, and then in the bottom of the 10th, the Padres ended up winning it in extra innings. And what I liked here, I posted my live reaction to the walk-off on YouTube, by the way, if you're interested after this episode, and the social media channels. But what I liked about it was the absolute clinic that the Padres' back of the order and then the top of the lineup put together here. And I was saying this on the pregame show before today's game. Pregame shows, by the way, if you don't know, before every single Padres game that are on this YouTube channel live and on replay, obviously, that are available right now if you want to watch pregame shows after the game's already over, whatever. But with this 10th inning, I mean, it was perfect, right? If it was Luke Voit and Eric Hosmer up, I don't think they would have been able to execute what Grisham and Luke Voit were able to do, right? If it was Luke Voit as that runner on second base or Eric Hosmer, because I know Voit didn't play, but let's say it was Eric Hosmer on second base. He was the last out of that ninth inning, so he's the extra inning runner on second to start the 10th. If he's that runner, they don't win that. I don't know if they win that game right there. I don't know if the Padres would be comfortable sending Hosmer on that flyout, you know? Who knows? But they had C.J. Abrams there the fastest guy on the team, one of the fastest guys in the league. And so he can walk over to third on Grisham's sack bunt, and then he can walk home on Nola's sack fly. You know, with Grisham and Nola, you have Grisham. I know he did foul off one bunt today, but I was saying on the pregame show, this guy has been perfect with his bunts in play. You know, it's not like from my memory this year so far, he has not bunted a pitch up in the air and it's been caught. You know, they've all been good inside the lines, inside the field of play, and he did it again. Perfect bunt. And then Nola, right, when he's healthy, I've said this multiple times already this season, when Nola is healthy, he makes contact. That's his job, and he knows that's his job, and he makes contact. He might not have the highest average because when he makes contact sometimes, it doesn't find a hole. But in those situations, you don't need to find a hole. What you need is to elevate a ball, put it in the outfield, and so Abrams can score and you get a walk-off, just like what happened. And if you see in the title of the episode, NOLA, I have NOLA in all caps, and then more in between the N-O and the L-A. No more L-A till June, because the Padres don't play the Dodgers again. Their next series against the Dodgers is June, I think, 30th. And then the series ends at the beginning of July. So the good news, you know, they're outscored 18-6. That's not the good news, obviously, duh. But the good news here is that they don't have to play the Dodgers in a long time, and they get a lot of easy, or at least on paper, again, that's, you know, baseball is a funny thing, but at least on paper, the Padres have a pretty friendly schedule, especially this road trip coming up. And so this is the time to definitely get wins. And I'll talk about Sunday's game, obviously. And I'll play that voicemail, by the way, that I was talking about that a fan sent in, the first voicemail that has been sent in. Again, 619-335-5770. If you want to give your thoughts, I'll play those. Whenever I receive them, I'll play them on the next episode. That doesn't include a guest, an interview. But in terms of after the series, so starting on Tuesday, you got three against the Reds. You got three against the Pirates. That's not a playoff team. The Reds aren't either. You got an off day, two against the Guardians. That doesn't seem like a playoff team. They got swept by the Yankees this weekend at Yankee Stadium. And then you come back home and you play four against the Miami Marlins, who aren't a playoff team, and three against the Cubs. And the Cubs don't seem like to be a playoff team either. The only thing to worry about the Cubs is the guy that the Padres might have been able to sign if the Cubs didn't sign him, and that's Seiya Suzuki, who's been absolutely bonkers at the plate. But the Cubs are the toughest team, seemingly, at least on paper, it seems like, that the Padres are going to play in their next, 18 games? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 games. So the Cubs, the next 15 games are against non-playoff teams. And then they play in Atlanta, I think, after that Cubs series. So if there's a time to capitalize, this is the time. You know, this is the time. So that's the good news. Now let's get to, hopefully you can hear this voicemail. Let me know in the chat, by the way, if you can hear this voicemail that I'm going to play here. Of Robert. This is Robert who called in 619-335-5770. To give me his thoughts on Yu Darvish on Saturday, how he was able to climb out of that hole. And he gave us a prediction that of Sean Manaea that what he was going to do earlier today, and ended up not being correct. But I thought this call was actually pretty funny. A lot of repetitive stuff, but here's this voicemail. Again, let me know if you can hear it. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, my bad. Okay, you guys can't hear? Dang it. I don't know how. Dang it. I'm trying to get this to work here. Okay, so what he's saying is he got that Yu Darvish, when he settled down, he wasn't getting a lot of chases. He was starting to, you know, get pitches into the zone. And Robert repeated that. Darvish throwing balls in the zone. He kept repeating that like 10 times in this voicemail. So that was kind of funny. And then his prediction for Sean Manaea, let me listen to that real quick again. Yeah, so Robert said that Sean Manaea was going to really do his thing today. Like he was going to pitch really well. So maybe Robert jinxed that a little bit there on that voicemail. Yikes. Manaea ended up giving up six earned runs today. So that's seems like he jinxed us a little bit there. Moving to Sunday's game, you know, Padres, the most runs they scored in this series was three runs on Saturday. They scored two on Sunday. And the Dodgers scored 10. Manaea gave up six earned runs. He was not on the mound for all six of those runs, but he loaded the bases, I believe. Loaded the bases? I know he had multiple runners on when he left, and so those runs ended up being charged to him because who was that came into the game? In the fifth inning, Bellinger hit a three-run home run, and two of those runners Manaea put on. Lamet, right? Lamet, I think, gave that up. Yeah. So pregame, Luis Camposano replaced Luke Voit on the injured list. Or not on the injured list, sorry, on the roster. Luke Voit on the IL, Luis Camposano on the roster, and Camposano got an at-bat today, flew out the center field. That was good. You know, he was hitting over 300, I believe, in AAA. But with Luke Voit, man, I mean, that's the real issue here. That's the real story here. And you know, if you just ask Yankee fans, they'll tell you that Luke Voit has an injury history and it was only a matter of time before he was going to get hurt. But this year, I mean, the Padres acquired him to be a power bat, right? And I think Luke Voit probably came in and felt like he had a lot of pressure on him to be that power bat, you know, without Fernando and Grisham, Myers, those guys are getting off to slow starts, right? He felt like he needed, and Cronenworth as well, he felt like he needed to be that big power bat with Manny, with Tatis out, obviously. And let's just say that he hasn't produced power-wise. He hasn't hit a home run yet. He's hitting 143. He has one extra base hit, and that was a double over the left fielder's head in that Braves series. The average, league average OPS plus, that's ballpark adjusted on base plus slugging percentage, is 100. His is 50. Let me repeat that again. The average Major League Baseball OPS plus is 100, the league average. His OPS plus right now is 50. That tells you the story of how bad Luke has been at the plate so far this season. And he's on the IL right now, 10-day IL, retroactive to yesterday, the 23rd, April 23rd. So what I'm thinking, and I said this a little bit on the pregame show, I'm thinking that, hey, look, hopefully this is just a time where Luke can literally not do anything for the next couple days. Don't focus on baseball. Just chill. Chill a little bit for a couple days. Get your head away. Come back. Maybe don't go rep maxes on the curls, you know, on the bicep curl bars, you know. We don't need those curl Those curls, you don't need huge biceps, all right? Let's just chill out on that. Thank you. We need you healthy. And hopefully he comes back and maybe he has a little bit of a change of approach, or he's not trying to have such a violent swing. Like, it's a wishful thinking. Like, you know, like, I know it's not going to happen, but like, can't you just look at Bryce Harper film and look how he has a violent swing without two strikes? And then when he has two strikes on him, he has a toe tap, and then he still swings violently, as violent as he can with a toe tap. Can't you do that? I'd love to see him try that, because I've said this multiple times already. With two strikes, right? And usually it's two strikes, 0-2, 1-2. That's what I've noticed with Voit. And when that's happening, the pitcher's not going to throw you a strike inside the strike zone, or it's not going to be where you want it. So when you're in the batter's box and you're having this big leg kick like he has, and as the ball's coming in, you're moving your head like this, that makes it harder to hit. You know, I've never hit in the big leagues, but I know if I'm trying to hit and I have this huge leg kick and I'm rocking back and forth a little bit, you're changing your eye level. And so why not just do a toe tap, right? I just did a toe tap, right? Toe tap, and my head moved a little bit. It didn't move a lot, you know, when you're doing this big leg kick, right? So that's what I would recommend, but I'm not Michael Bordar. I'm not getting paid to be the hitting coach, but that's what I would recommend for Luke Voit. But hopefully after he comes off the IL that he, you know, can start producing a little bit at the plate, because the Padres are going to need it, because I don't think that they want to have three catchers on the roster. They have plenty of first base options, and I think they want to continue having Camposano getting consistent at bats, and he's not going to get that over the next 10 days, I don't think, at the big league level. Some pinch hit appearances, maybe here and there, like he did today late in the game, but I don't think that that's going to happen consistently over the next 10 days. Maybe the Padres are blowing out guys because they're facing the Marlins, Guardians, and Pirates, but I don't think that he's really going to have, you know, too many at-bats at the big league level. So I think that having three catchers on the roster with Camposano on it, I don't think that's the best for him, for his development, for, to be quite honest, his trade value, because teams are going to want to see him hit, whether that's in AAA or any other level, whether that's the big leagues or whether that is in the minor leagues. But, yeah, so Luke Voit's on the 10-day IL. Biceps tendonitis, I think, is what they called it. Bicep soreness. So that's not great. Not great. But hopefully this is some time where he can clear his head a little bit and it'll be better, you know, when he comes off. But getting to today's game, well, that was not fun to watch. That was kind of my caption that I put on that Dodger after watching that Dodger-Padre game today. 10-2. Shamania was not sharp. The Padres' errorless streak ended at 16 games. This is the 17th game. Kim bobbled a Manny flip, a glove flip. I think it was in the first inning. Yeah, in the top of the first. Cronenworth then let a ball go right through his legs, essentially. I don't know if it was through his legs, but he bobbled the ball. It was straight to him, just straight to him, and he bobbled it. Second base happens to everyone, I guess, you know, every once in a while, but that happened. So two errors after going 16 straight games without having an error. The Padres have two errors today, and I know for a fact that one of those errors ended up scoring. I know that. In the top of the first, Betts did score on Justin Turner's sac fly, and he ended up scoring. That was one of the runs that ended up scoring on an error because of that error. He got from first to second and then second to third on a Freeman sac fly, I believe, and then Turner drove him in with a sac fly. In the bottom of the first, the Padres, this is where it's like, okay, you have first and third, no outs, and you don't score. That's something that's a problem, especially against good teams with good offenses. You know they're going to score runs later in the game. And so when you have an opportunity like that early in the game,
You got to take advantage of it. And the Padres didn't do that, especially against Clayton Kershaw. You know, he pitched really good today. He pitched really good. And that curveball, man, I tweeted on my on the Talking Friars Twitter account, at Talking Friars. Man, I can't wait to see Kershaw on the couch, see him sitting in the stands at these Dodger games and not having the Padres have to face Kershaw with that curveball when that curveball's working. He went five innings today, one earned run. He did not walk anybody, struck out three guys. His ERA is at 2.65 now. He had that twin start where he didn't give up a single base runner through 80 pitches. I think that's where he hovered around today. But Manaea was not good. 4 1/3 innings, 6 earned runs, 6 hits, walked 3. That's a season high. 3 walks isn't bad, but still, it's a season high. I wanted to note that. 5 strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs. One was to Freddie Freeman, and then one was to Cody Bellinger. I need to find that real quick because this ball, in a night game, I feel like this ball would have been a flyout to center field. Let me find it here. Yeah, here it is. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Let me share the screen. This ball, this is the second home run here for the YouTube audience that Shamania gave up, okay? To Bellinger. During a night, I don't want to make excuses, but during a night game, this feels like a fly out to center, but it ends up being a home run. So that was the type of I didn't think, you know, 3 walks, like I mentioned, 3 walks isn't bad, but it's the home runs, the 2 home runs, the Freddie Freeman home run, there's no excuse for that. My goodness. I mean, that ball was smashed. But here's the Shamania to Cody Bellinger, the second home run Manaea gave up today.
He got that when he went to Samoa. Bellinger cracks this one in the air. Deep center field. Grisham to the wall. It's gone. Another lefty-lefty home run against Manaea. Right arm. He got that when he went to Samoa. Bellinger cracks this one in the air. Deep center field. Grisham to the wall. It's.
I mean, look at that. That totally looked. Is that just me? That totally looked like Grisham was about to, you know, jump up, and all of a sudden it just kept carrying over the center field wall. But that was the first home run that Bellinger hit today. He ended up hitting another one, a 3-run home run in the fifth. That made it 8-1 Dodgers. Myers had a bloop RBI single, made it 4-1. Before that, Bellinger 3-run home run. But then there was groundouts all over, the RBI groundouts, sac flies all over the place. Austin Barnes had a grounder to second. Jake made that error. That made it 9-1 Dodgers. Max Muncy had a ground out to first RBI, made it 10-1 Dodgers. Grisham had an RBI sack ground out to second base, made it 10-2 Dodgers, and that was the final score. Ray Kerr, like I mentioned, he had his major league debut today. I was hoping to see him on Friday because that game was out of hand too, but we got to see him today, got his first major league strikeout against Max Muncy. That was good to see. He pitched well, sat around 95 with his fastball. One inning, no runs, no hits, got that one strikeout. I did see this from the Padres today. This series, 133,856 fans this weekend, the most ever in Petco Park history in a series. But I just wanted to note that tidbit. But with this Padre-Dodger game here, 10-2, I mean, my goodness. This game really like showed how much room the Padres have to make up offensively with the Dodgers. Like, am I saying that Shamania is going to give up 6 runs again the next time he faces the Dodgers or again at all this season? Probably not. I'd probably say no. But it's still not encouraging, right? Because you still have other guys that could have off starts against them. And when you're facing the Dodgers, you know you're going to give up runs. Whether that's 2 runs like on Saturday or whether that's 10 runs on Sunday or 6 runs like Friday, you're going to give up some runs to the Dodgers. So the offense is just far off from the Dodgers. And Jurickson Profar, he was amazing from, you know, definitely Saturday's game with that throw that he made, fouling that ball off his kneecap and somehow still staying in the game, right? That was big. And then he still, you know, he's healthy enough to play Sunday, right? So, look, he was good. The offense, there's been some surprises, but Hosmer seems to be coming down to earth a little bit. I can look at his game log a little bit here just to see what he's been doing recently numbers-wise compared to how he started the season. Jake might be coming together, but like Profar, he's not going to do this good, I don't think, the whole season. I think if he sticks to his approach, we'll see some good, much better year than last year, obviously. But his numbers isn't going to be this great, right? Him hitting fourth, he's the four hitter for the Padres. You know, that's not great. And he's the guy that us fans were complaining about, right? To start the season, we were like, oh, we have Jerks and Profar as our left fielder. No power, you know? And now he's the four hitter. Today he was the four hitter. But, well, I mean, even Hosmer, today, what do you do today? Let me check what he did today so I can give you the full series stats for Hosmer today. But my point with Hosmer is I don't think he's going to stay hitting 375. So, okay, so he went 2 for 3 today. Those were silent hits because of how much a blowout it was. But he went 2 for 3 today, 0 for 4 yesterday, of course, when I pick him for my Padre pick, 2 for 4 on Friday. So for the series, he was, man, math's not my thing right now. 2 for 4, so 2 for 8 the first two games. 8 plus 3 is 11. So 3 for 11 the entire series. I mean, I guess that's better than some guys that you could say, right? But that's not going 4 for 5 like he did against Atlanta last week, right? That's not even going 2 for 4 like he did against Cincinnati this week as well, right, where he drove in 2. That 2 for 4 game that he had against the Dodgers on Friday, he didn't drive in any runs. So my point is I just don't think that Hosmer is going to continue doing this. So that's the big takeaway from this series for me is the gap in the offense. And maybe it shouldn't even be – well, it's not, to be honest. It's not a surprise, but that's what you have to take away. I'm not worried about Shamania. I'm not worried about Luis Garcia. I'm not worried about Taylor Rogers. You know, Darvish, that's Darvish. I mean, you wish he didn't get into trouble like he did the first two innings on Saturday, but he came back, shut out the Dodgers, right? Nick Martinez, he's supposed to be the 7th starter, you know, with Clevinger and Snell healthy, if you think about it, you know? So – he is what he is. You know, he had some good moments as well. You know, he had that bases loaded. He got out of the jam on Friday early in that game. You know, so I know that the Padres ended up losing that Friday game, but my big takeaway here is the offense. You're outscored 18-6 by the Dodgers. You want to pass the Dodgers or be close to them or be competitive with them? You can't score 6 runs and give up 18. You know? And I'm not, again, I don't even want to focus on the 18 runs given up. That's a great offense, the best offense in the league probably right now. And they were definitely the best offense on paper going into the season. So I'm not going to freak out about 18 runs given up, okay? What I am going to not freak out because, it's one series. I expected it before the series. My prediction was they were going to lose the series. They were going to win yesterday and lose the first and third games of the series, and that's what happened. But the offense cannot score only 6 runs against the Dodgers in a 3-game series. I don't care who's pitching. You want to contend with them? You got to play better. You just do. You got to hit better. And you can say that Fernando wasn't out, you know, Fernando wasn't playing, right? And I understand that. But if we want to look at these box scores here, because I have yet to do this, and I did want to do this, so might as well do it right now. My point here is the amount of hits, you know, the holes in the lineup, because there's holes in the lineup. Let's see here. Where's the schedule? All right. Let's go through this Dodger-Padre series. All right, so we'll start Sunday. Oh, the baseball reference stuff isn't up. Yeah, we'll do Saturday. Let's start with Friday, and then we'll do Saturday. Friday, they lose 6-1, okay? So, man, baseball reference is not cooperating with me right now. They lose 6-1, okay? They have 4 hits on Friday. On Saturday, they have 8 hits. That's Sunday. Sunday, they have 8 hits. And Saturday they had 5. So 5 plus 8 is 13, plus 4, 17. So they had 17 hits. Let me write that down. 17 hits for the Padres this series. And the Dodgers, they had 8 hits on Friday. 5 hits on Saturday. And 8 hits today. So 8 plus 5, 13, plus 8, 13 plus 8, 21. So they out-hit the Padres. They had 21 hits. The Padres had 17. So that's not as big of a margin as I thought. But as you can see here, we can look at the home runs as well, right? The Dodgers this series, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Dodgers had 6 home runs in this series. The Padres, meanwhile, had 1 by Cronenworth. That's it. So Padres had 1 home run this series. The Dodgers had 6. And the Dodgers had a lot of multi-run home runs. You know, Freeman was multi. Bellinger today was multi. So you get my point. 18 runs the Dodgers scored this series, Padres 6. 21 hits the Dodgers scored this series, Padres 17. 6 home runs the Dodgers had this series. San Diego had 1 home run by Jake Cronenworth. So that tells the story. The offenses, you can't compare them right now. They have to hit better. They have to produce more offensively. And that's why I think this upcoming road trip that includes the Cincinnati Reds, the Cleveland Guardians, and the Pittsburgh Pirates is huge. And then when they come back and face the Marlins and the Cubs is huge. That's a 15-game stretch where you don't play playoff teams. You got to win those games. You got to win those series, you know? So I'd like them to go 10-5 there. Will I be surprised if they don't? A little bit, but maybe not really, because a lot of those are road series. But I'd like them to go 10-5 on this next road trip, because you need to make up some games here, right? You know, well, not maybe make up games, but keep pace. I know it's early in the year, but every game counts as the same. And you know that the Dodgers and the Giants, they're going to win the games they're supposed to win. So far this season, have the Padres won the games that they have supposed to been? Have they won the games they're supposed to win so far this season? Yeah. I mean, opening day, no. But They beat Arizona. They won that series. They won. They swept the Cincinnati Reds. They split with the Braves. At least they took one game against the Dodgers here. So they've won the series that they're supposed to win. Now, will that continue? That's a big question. Can they continue winning the games they should win? Winning the series against non-playoff teams. Because you know that the other teams in the National League, the best teams in the National League, they're going to do that. And that might end up being the difference if the Padres don't make the playoffs. I see them as a playoff team. Or if they don't get home field advantage for the wild card series, right? So these games, you might be saying they're playing the Reds, Pirates, and they're going to win this game. I won't tune in. Well, tune in because these games are important. Every single game is important if you care as much about the team as I do. All right. This next series, real quick preview before I get to these comments. I know I didn't go through a bunch of comments while I was talking here for 50-plus minutes, but I just wanted to get through this series. April 26th, so Tuesday's their next game. Monday is an off day. Tomorrow's an off day. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3:40 p.m. Pacific time, first pitch on Tuesday and Wednesday. It'll be Joe Musgrove on Tuesday against San Martin. On Wednesday, it'll be Mackenzie Gore making his third major league start. Will it be his last start before Clevinger comes back? Will Clevinger replace him in the rotation? Or will Martinez become a long guy? I think that's the better option, but that's just me. And Wednesday, by the way, Vladimir Gutierrez is pitching for Cincinnati. On Thursday, that is a Wednesday morning game for the Padres fans in San Diego, 9:35 a.m. Pacific time. It's 12:35 in Cincinnati on Wednesday. Nick Martinez on the mound against Taylor Mahle. So the good news here is the Padres don't have to face Hunter Green, right? That's the takeaway for me is good news. You don't have to face him. Good news this past series, we didn't have to face Walker Buehler earlier in the year. We didn't have to face Carlos Rodon. So it seems like the Padres are getting lucky here. They don't have to face the best guy in each team's rotation right now. You know, that's good. But you didn't face Walker Buehler in this series and still got outscored 18-6, right? Now, is Kershaw good? Yeah. Is Urias good? Yeah. But I wish they could have scored more runs off Tyler Anderson on Saturday. All right, so they need to sweep the series. Well, they need to win the Cincinnati series. They need to win every series on this road trip. Should they sweep? Yeah, because it's like the same series that you played at Petco. You know, if Cincinnati does get Jonathan India back, well, that's they become better. But that's the same series. You're not facing Hunter Green. You're facing a bad team. That has three wins, I think, so far this season. They finally won yesterday, I think, against the Cardinals. So this team sucks. So win the series. Please sweep. Do that again. You know, win the games. I keep saying this. Win the games you're supposed to win. All right. Let's get to some comments here. Some of these are probably a long way that these probably happened a long time ago while I was talking. So some comments that I can talk about that, you know, make sense here, I'll go through. Randall says, fire AJ now and AJ Preller. Why is that? I mean, the team right now is 11 and, what are they? 10 and... 10 and 7 right now. 10-7 is good for me right now. That's pretty good for me right now. So fire AJ, Profars look good. That move looks good right now. Taylor Rogers, that move looks good right now. Luis Garcia, for the most part, that move has looked good so far right now. Bob Melvin, the move, that coaching staff has been great so far right now. So the move, Alfaro, I mean, he was great in spring training, and I don't see why that's not. It hasn't been a good move so far right now. So he's made, I mean, the Sean Manaea move has been amazing. I know today was a clunker, but the moves, the offseason that AJ had was good. Now, he's not in control of what the players do in the batter's box. So, yeah, you might be, Randall, you might be a little, you know, reactionary to them getting crushed today and losing to the Dodgers, and that's not fun to lose to the Dodgers, but there's why it's too early to say fire AJ. And even if it was the good time to say fire AJ, it's not going to happen because Peter Seidler is very loyal to him. And he's even said before the season that he doesn't feel like it's a, oh, we must win right now year, which I disagreed with. But he's already said that, so that's not going to happen. Let's see here. The umpires, some guys, some here in the comments talking about the umpires. The ump gave bad calls yesterday against the Dodgers. This ump is famous for bad calls. Yep. And then on Friday as well, I gave a breakdown on that I showed earlier in this episode, which is available, by the way, again, at Talking Friars, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all over the place. Turbo, that's kind of a good point that he makes here. He says, 1/10 of the season completed. I don't see much more offense coming. We may be able to grab third or fourth in the division. Way too many left on base this season. I agree that there's been a good amount left on base so far this season. There is more offense coming, though. I think that Cronenworth will get hot. I think that Voit will be better than he was before this IL stint that he's going to be on. Tatis is coming back. So I disagree that there isn't more offense, that there isn't much more offense coming. But I agree with the point that the offense needs to be better. It definitely does. Outscored 18-6 in runs this series against the Dodgers. 6 home runs the Dodgers had, 1 home run the Padres had. All right, I think that's all the comments. Again, any thoughts that you have, if you want me to feature them on an episode, I'll try to get that volume fixed because you guys couldn't hear Robert's voicemail where he was repeating Darvish throwing in the strike zone. He was in the zone. He kept repeating that. But if you have any thoughts, 619-335-5770, the voicemail number. You can hit me up at Talking Friars on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, in the comments here on YouTube, on the replay or whatever. I try to get to everyone on Gaslamp Ball as well. What else? Might have an episode tomorrow trying to get an interview locked down this week. So maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. But we got Cincinnati coming up starting on Tuesday. Padres lose this series to the Dodgers. 2-1, not surprising. The offense is not near what the Dodgers' offense is. Sean Manaea had a clunker today, not worried. Darvish pitched out of that big jam or big pitch count that he had those first two innings yesterday. Austin Nola with the walk-off, that was the big bright spot. A real good team win Saturday, but Friday and Sunday they lose big. A lot of home runs by the Dodgers. That was the big story in the series. So, this has been episode 154 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show, brought to you by Gagliano Bros, Famous Cheesesteaks, and Subs. I am Ben Fadden, your host. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I'll see you next time, everyone. Have a good night.